Ever.
In 67 years of living.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. I'm honored to have in studio. And I'm going to take the young moniker off. State Representative David Bowen. I guess you're young when you stand next to me. But you're not that young guy that... you said a teenager. How old were you when you joined the legislature?
I was 25. That was the county. I was 28.
Oh, okay.
28.
All right. Well, you're still a young guy. But he's the state representative, and he's also a candidate for the lieutenant governor of the state of Wisconsin. Man, let's go into why you decided to run for lieutenant governor.
And I didn't make this decision lightly. I had to size up what was at stake this
Meaning
election
what?
Cycle. The fact that we could lose so much progress that we've gained. The fact that I have the background in legislative experience and also in grassroots connections all over the state, being able to contribute to working in the party for so many years and ultimately understanding how progress is made. I've tempered my expectations from that 25-year-old young man that was on the county board, and then the 28-year-old that made it in the state assembly, and I've been able to work with my colleagues, even across the aisle, where, you know, we clearly have different viewpoints, but I do have the respect of my colleagues when it comes to dissecting the issues that are affecting all of us, not just in Milwaukee and in Shorewood, where I represent, but also all over the state, for us to really get down to the root of what is hindering the economic ladder for a chunk of Wisconsinites that need access to their American dream. What is in the way of us fighting to protect our environment, where we protect what we eat, breathe, what we hunt, when it comes down to protecting the voices of those in our communities all across the state and protecting our democracy so that everyone has access to the ballot box and we have elections that continue to be the most secure elections in human history. It's important that we recognize the things that we must protect in this election cycle. And that's why I put everything on the line. I've served 8 years, 4 terms in the state assembly. I feel really good about what I've been able to do, what I've been able to accomplish, the bills that we've done, the things that we've shifted in a number of issues when it comes to even in corrections with our juvenile programs for young people to get them back on track so they could be contributing members of our community again.
So what do you say to people who say, man, lieutenant governor, they don't do anything. They don't have any role to play. I've had conversations with people who say, well, it's a symbolic position. You say what to that?
I said, you're missing the forest for the trees. You have to look at the big picture. Ultimately, this is a really big platform, a statewide platform that gets a chance to be able to tout the governor's agenda, to help usher his agenda through. But there's also a really big opportunity to engage Wisconsinites and actually listen to them. And I've been doing that my whole legislative career, now a decade in. And it's about making sure that we can actually listen to the folks that we serve and institute the solutions that we know that we've been holding back on. I think back to the retired A.O. Smith Tower automotive workers in my district that still live around a 30th Street corridor, a section of a business park that does not represent as many jobs as that once existed there. And I understand how communities can progress when they have access to family-sustaining jobs and opportunities, union-represented jobs and opportunities for them and their futures. And when you size it up, There are people all over the state of Wisconsin that are still waiting for that opportunity, and we must be the ones to build in the changes and the mechanisms necessary to make sure they have access to opportunity.
You know, if the position is only symbolic, how many people are running for it?
On the Democratic side, there are three of us. On the Republican side, there are 11 or 10 candidates.
Wow.
Right? So, you know, so, some people might say your vote doesn't count. Then why do people try so hard to stop it?
Let me. So, Lieutenant Governor, again, is going to be representative of the entire state, just
entire
like
state.
The governor.
Yes, sir.
Which means you are traveling all over this state. We can talk about the issues that impact and affect the central city of Milwaukee, and we know all too well, you know, the pain that's there. But what about the rural areas? Let's talk a little bit about, you've been to many of those areas. Let's talk about the pain that's being experienced there.
Absolutely. And that's when, you know, when we talked about before.
Which means we all got this same thing in common.
Exactly. We have a shared destiny, and many of us will understand that. And more people are starting to learn that, especially as you look at infrastructure in rural communities. Water infrastructure is huge for rural communities, and we are seeing a number of different things that are contaminating water in rural areas. We're seeing the lack of resources for road infrastructure, and we all are tired of potholes. We all are tired of crumbling roads. Governor Evers has been a governor to invest more in road infrastructure than previous administrations, and it makes sense because we need to replace this aging infrastructure. Rural communities need those things. And then also the great thing that when we talk about violence prevention and the statewide fund that we champion, the statewide violence prevention fund that Governor Evers listened to my office on and created that fund with ARPA funds. And he went to local communities and listened to create a mechanism so that they can create their own plans to reduce violence and the trends that they're seeing that are specific to your rural, suburban, or urban area. So it is important that we are able to connect with rural communities who many times don't feel like they're being listened to, many times feel like they're being skipped over.
You know, the pain that's experienced, and many people aren't aware. I mean, I'm not a person who's spending a lot of time traveling the state of Wisconsin, but all the things that I've read and continue to read about, you know, the paper mills that used to be, the farms, family farms that used to be, the things that made it possible for those people to live middle class existences like the ones that in our city with industry used to make that possible. Those things are going there. The struggles that people deal with in our community with addiction, that also impacts and affects rural areas. Those, the educational system, the breakdowns of all of those things, they're all prevalent in across the state. They're not just in one area.
Absolutely. And as you talk about the importance of, you know, having a ticket for the gubernatorial race that can embody what can unify us, and that's the diversity, the strength of our diversity of our state, the strength of urban, rural, and suburban communities coming together to understand how we need to better be supportive of our families so that they can succeed. And as you talk about access to our economy, at such a critical time during a pandemic, is to ensure that we are getting the resources to small businesses. And thankfully, we've seen a really big investment into the recreation industry, the entertainment industry, and the tourism industry specifically. The governor has very much touted his investments to sustain a number of different entities, especially in rural Wisconsin, where they've taken a huge hit because of the lack of travel.
So a couple of things. COVID is on the prowl again. I don't think it's ever going to go away, but it's on the prowl again. And And so there are many people right now who we're not taking it as seriously, it doesn't appear to me, Representative Bowen, as we once did in this country, because people are saying they're tired of it. Our government has not invested the resources that it did a year or so ago that made it possible to track all of this and to help people who financially can't afford it with the testing and all those different things. Republicans clearly don't think it's that important a deal anymore. But even in this state, we haven't seen it yet, but it's coming. What are your thoughts about COVID and the fact that we still live in a society where people want to dismiss it as if it's done?
And I want people to understand, you know, especially with this beard, I can't stand masks either.
Right.
It irritates me to my core. At the same time, there were some things that had to be done to protect everyone and to ensure that we all were on the same page.
And that's not Democrat or Republican, right?
That's right. The virus don't pick you just because you lean a certain political side. And I saw mentors. I saw people I respected in the community that lost their lives. To this virus. It is so important that we look out for each other, and I think it highlights.
So let's do this, man. Hold that thought. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. My guest is State Representative David Bowen. He's a candidate for Lieutenant Governor of the state of Wisconsin. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is a state representative and candidate for the, I was going to say the United States Senate, but we don't want to move it too far.
We're talking about the Lieutenant Governor.
Mr. David Bowen. You know, man. Let's talk a little bit about you have talked about why you're running for Lieutenant Governor. You think it's an important position, and that you can bring all of these talents and experiences. How does that position work in a working with the governor? I mean, how important is that in correlation to the governor?
And I actually like the fact that.
And can there be a Republican lieutenant governor and a Democratic governor?
In the state of Wisconsin, you can't. It's a unified ticket. So if the governor wins, the lieutenant governor automatically wins. That is on the ticket with them. But I think I like the fact that it is a creative position. It is a position that can be filled in to especially carry the agenda of the governor, but also focus on a number of different issues that sometimes might not get as much shine, might not get the light of day as much, but is a platform that can definitely champion the needs and the requests that people of the state of Wisconsin need, especially the most urgent ones. As we talk about the issues that people are concerned with today, we're talking about the economic ladder, we're talking about protecting our democracy, make sure that voices are engaged rather than stifling those voices from being able to participate in choosing the direction of their communities and solutions, and then protecting our environment. It's about highlighting those things that we know that if we don't do them, people are going to suffer and people will get hurt.
So traveling all over the state, it's a big state, and to represent just a thought of representing people from across the entire state and moving physically across the state, that's part of the job, right? I mean, you
absolutely
have to be all over the state. You're up to that?
Absolutely. I've done it before. So I got a taste of that as vice chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. And actually, I love it. You know, I love people, and I love the chance to be able to engage folks on things that I'm passionate about, things that I care about. So that part is fun to me. As you said, I'm not I'm not the young man that you've seen, so I've been able to actually grow in my experience rather than just throwing myself into the belly of the beast and not being prepared for it. This is about ensuring that the future of our state has leaders that actually will listen to people, that will champion the things that they need.
So what's your thought process on education in this state, the different modes of education, whether or not you think we invest enough money on the state level in education? What are your thoughts?
K-12 education in Wisconsin and post-secondary traditionally have always been invested in by decades of leaders in the legislative and executive branch level. Recently, we've seen a falling away of the, especially the two-thirds commitment we always would have to our K-12 system. The significant amount of dollars that were committed from the state to our tech colleges and our UW system. And now is the time to double down. And you know, I love doubling down on things that work. That's a bet I'm willing to make. If you invest into our systems, into our young people, into our workforce, they will be able to benefit by being able to grow into areas of our economy so that they can help reduce that brain drain that we have, because we're seeing folks leave our state, especially from my generation, and pursue hotter pastures, not greener. It's hotter in Texas. It's hotter in North Carolina. It's hotter in Georgia and in Florida. But, you know, Wisconsin has some great things going for us. And if we're able to continue to show that you can get access to training, education, and opportunity in our workforce and in our economy, many folks will still call Wisconsin home.
Well, what about the attack on public education, not just in the city of Milwaukee, but across the state? Public education is under assault. What are your thoughts?
Teachers are doing God's work right now. And if anyone that witnessed what educators had to deal with during the pandemic, and some of them on the drop of a dime were expected to be able to make a transition to virtual learning, you know, nothing short of amazing. We need to support our educators. We need to support our schools wholeheartedly. We no longer can just piecemeal our way of trying to expect good opportunities and good outcomes coming out of our schools rather than investing in them on the front end and embracing some creative approaches to keeping students in the classroom, making sure that they get access to the supports that they need. And, you know, right now in special education, Wisconsin is still behind on the amount of funding that we should be investing in special education funding levels. We have a ways to go. The food that we are feeding our students can be a lot better. And as a very strong agriculture economy state, we should be able to get more farm to table programs for our school districts so that the freshest, most nutritious food could be accessible to our students.
You know, I want to talk about family supporting jobs on the state level. Mm-hmm. The state struggles with, you know, great family supporting jobs. You know, when I was a young man, there I go again. When I was a young man, there were you know, state, mm-hmm. family supporting jobs all over the state.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
Wisconsin was one of the strongest when it came to that. And so people all over this country, I mean, all over the state, were able to live a strong middle-class lifestyle. Is it over? I mean, it's not happening for the most part now. Is there a possibility that there can be changes and that we can get back to a point where Wisconsin is still a strong manufacturing state, but nowhere near what she was before?
I think we can still get back to that. And if you look at the numbers under President Biden's tenure, people's incomes are rising. People's wages are rising. We need to be able to pay people more so that they can sustain their families. And there is a balance to be able to do that. People need access to areas of the economy that are growing the most, and they need access to some of the forefront jobs for the 21st century, so that they can be a part of this transition. And we're experiencing that in manufacturing. We're going from some of the traditional manufacturing to high tech manufacturing, and our communities, our workforce needs to be able to transition with that. So we have to make those investments. I think we need less Foxconns, though. You know, less pie in the sky dreams of just pouring Wisconsin money into a company and expecting them to create outcomes, rather than finding the entrepreneurs and the businesses that are already committed to the state of Wisconsin.
I'm wondering
and
if
giving them the resources they need.
To read my mind, but I was just going to bring up Foxconn. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. State Representative David Bowen is a candidate for the Lieutenant Governor of the state of Wisconsin. We'll be right back.
Sitting in the morning sun.
But we got some hot summer, so.
Yeah.
I'll be sitting when the evening comes.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at the same number in the studio. State Representative David Bowen, candidate for the Lieutenant Governor of the state of Wisconsin. Man, let me.
Shouts out to the DJ. We got some hits playing right
now. Yeah.
Dr. Bay is my stuff.
Hey,
that's my stuff.
So yeah. let me say this to you, man. On a national level, Democrats caught me, you know, progressive Democrats. It's always, and I always heard many Democrats, and even you many times when you were the vice chair of the state Democratic Party. I remember you constantly and others. Democrats have a big tent.
Mm-hmm.
And Democrats are proud we've got a big tent. And I would always think, okay, so you got a big tent. So big tent to me means all of us aren't, you know, in the amen corner as Democrats. Everybody's not on the same page. There are different views in different people. And you can say I'm a Democrat and have different views, and yet we're going to all come together and sing Kumbaya, and we're going to make this work. But a big tent, although practically sounds really good, if you're not able to work that out inside of that big tent,
yeah,
let's talk a little bit about that. Because especially on a national scale, you're seeing it now.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, and I think, you know, one of the things that I learned from my tenure at the party was, you know, the passion that everybody has, but especially as your party is growing and you have new people coming to the table experiencing party politics for the first time, it's important to recognize you know, the support that they need to be able to be a part of this thing that they're very much not used to. But ultimately, progressives want progress. And I think some of the perspectives make it sound like some progressives are so hard that they can't consolidate their expectations, their wants to be able to be a part of a broader agenda for progress for everybody. And I think many more progressives that I've met and seen out there are willing to make that compromise. We go through that constantly.
You say many, but on the other side of that coin, you know, there's a heads and a tails, a yin and a yang to all of it. And there are many progressives who don't.
And I also will go the other side to that is you also can't you also can't fall to a moderate level approach that will not really make the impact that it needs to make for the future of your community as well. And there is a balance because sometimes there are some moderate level approaches that really don't work, that really won't do the work and impact families and impact communities the way that we need them to. So there is a balance. And, you know, I think as Barack has always talked about, former President Obama has always talked about the ebbs and flows of progress. It definitely goes up and down. And I hope that we don't get in our own way. That's why it's so important to unify in these midterm elections. Regardless of if you want all student loans wiped out completely, or if you want to see some progress on a number of different fronts, we can't have a all or nothing approach. No one can have that. No one can take their ball and just go home. And we've had many of those really tough conversations in the party. We've had them, and Wisconsin is the state to do it. We've had them from diverse communities, and the needs of different communities sometimes being pitted against other communities. And that's why it's more important for us to recognize that our destinies are shared. The lives of folks in my part of state are just as valuable as the lives in the northern part of state. We're seeing the effects of this pandemic wreak havoc on all of us. That's why we should be working together to make sure that we continue to hold the line on COVID-19, just like we need to hold the line, on these perspectives from sometimes colleagues, especially in the legislature, that are seeking to divide us.
Let's do this. Who do we have on the line, Sam?
Tom's calling from L.A.
Hey, Tom, what's going on, man? Thank you very much for the call.
Good morning. First off, we the people are the government, and we must never forget that. Second, I am a proud FDR Democrat. Just speaking about what you're speaking about right there, I find that when the Democrats compromise or they don't let like what you're talking about with the student debt issue as an example. We have the ability to cancel off student debt instead of paying all this money towards the military-industrial complex. And I find that when the Democrats go lukewarm, they end up hurting the program. They end up allowing Republicans to frame it in a way that the program doesn't work. Whereas, as an example, when FDR did Social Security, it was Social Security. It was for people that were 75 and older, and it was not a cutting around their, I find that the old progressives used to say, look, we want it all, and we're going to get it all, and we're going to pass it to Congress. And when we started going lukewarm and getting half a loaf rather than the full loaf, what I find is that the program got denigrated. And since Democrats don't know how to message worth a crap, basically what ends up happening is the Republicans start talking about school choice. And they start speaking about the vouchers, and they start speaking about all that stuff, instead of saying, no, we're going to have a public education system in this country. That's what we're going to have. If you want to send your kid to a religious school, you can cough up your own money, and we the people are not going to pay for you going to a charter school or another school. But because the Democrats get lukewarm on this stuff, it ends up changing the message, and it ends up where the Democrats are not standing for their principle.
So, Tom, hang on. Let's let Representative Bowen respond.
Yeah, and thank you for calling in your response, Tom. I think it comes down to this. There are a number of different issues, including student debt, that I would love to be able to make progress on And we already know the implications of not reducing that debt has on our economy, on especially my generation being able to invest in their families and their legacies, to be able to buy houses, to buy other assets, and to be able to sustain their families. At the same time, I also recognize that the ballgame is over if Governor Evers loses in the midterms. I know that the ballgame is over if President Biden isn't able to win in 2024. So we can walk and chew gum at the same time. We can make progress on a number of fronts and do the things that we have control over. And I do agree with you. You know, lukewarm water is the nastiest. I like it cold. I like it real cold. So it's important that, you know, if we are going to champion these issues, especially the ones that we know that people need, we're taking the approaches wholeheartedly of holding down the perspectives that people need us to, especially as we talk about the value that people must be able to see in change makers and in those in power positions.
Tom?
Well, I would say that Republicans never seem to negotiate on tax cuts for the rich or the billionaires. We seem to just accept that as what it is. And I would just like to see, even if it was a small program, that we don't say, okay, we're going to cut $50,000 worth of student debt. You could take any issue under the planet. And it's like, if we just took a straight up answer, so we don't have to go and hem and haw about our answers, I think that we would be better served as a Democratic Party rather than always saying, okay, we're going to do this, but we're going to be doing this. And to me, it's basically, when you talk bipartisan nowadays, I think it means that bipartisan means that both parties are bought out by the same donors. That's what I feel about you know, negotiations. I'd rather have my congressperson stand up for something and say, this is what I stand up for, and give the reasoning behind it, rather than being very, very, I know it's a game, but being very political. And what they ought to be doing is, when they have a belief in something, then they go to the media, then they go on their YouTube page, then they talk about what it is that they really want to do, without having to, you know, give up on their values. That's just the way I feel about it.
Hey, Tom, thank you very much for the call, man.
You're not.
And you know what we saw, you know, the signs of some division. And the rifts in viewpoints, especially in the Democratic Party, and from the 2016 and 2020 race, as far as president. And then you also saw some things play out in the gubernatorial race, too. But I think at the end of the day, you know, when it comes to the issues that we agree on, I'm going right back to the same thing we highlighted. There are more of us that agree that we can make at least some progress on all of these issues, rather than our opposition that wants to give us nothing.
So I have to tell you, man, I don't think the Democratic Party has always been, and I think even to you, it wasn't fair. Hasn't been fair to you, especially in the after, you know, the election of the new chair of the Democratic Party and how that all came about. So, but how do you get over? How do you get to a point where you say, I've got to do what's in the best interest of the people and not my own personal?
Yeah, you don't take your ball and go home.
You certainly can feel like
the Democratic Party of Wisconsin chair, Ben Wickler, is one of my close allies. And we work together, and I support his leadership at the party. He's been doing an amazing job.
Hold the thought.
Yeah.
844-967-2789. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789 in Texas. At that same number, my guest is State Representative David Bowen, who's a candidate for the lieutenant governor. You know, as time is moving swiftly, probably for you, the election is this fall, right?
The election in the primary, August 9th. Tuesday, August 9th. And then the general is November 3rd.
Wow. That is a short window. And you got in the race kind of late compared to, you know. I think there are several others who had announced long before you made
couple,
the decision.
A couple. I was the second person to get in.
Oh, you were the second person that got in.
Well, I'll call it third.
Yeah.
And one of the candidates isn't in anymore. So we're down to three candidates. And we got 104 days till the primary. So, we're going to grind.
So what's the process, man? You got 104 days.
Mm-hmm.
You got a whole state.
Yeah.
You have name recognition because, as a state legislator, and again, as you stated, chairman. Vice chairman of the state Democratic Party, you've been able to travel the state. What is the process? You got finances all in order? I mean,
yeah, we're raising dollars and need to raise more. So we'll be in touch with folks, and they can always support us as well.
So what's the campaign? And if people wanted to donate, and how did he do that?
Absolutely. Find us as well on Facebook, as well as it'll connect to our Act Blue and all those connections. So we're just thankful that so many people believe in us. As you said, my history goes in this state pretty deep. My name recognition just doesn't come because I got a nice beard, because I do. but it comes because we've been on the front lines. You know, we've been advocating for in really tough issues for the things that Wisconsinites need, and we've been doing that for quite some time.
You know, man, you had to give up your seat. Did you have to give up your seat?
I do, and that's what makes this race so much more significant. The fact that I consciously am making the decision not to be comfortable this election cycle. And it comes down to me allowing God to do some new things in this time. My mother, God rest her soul, made her transition about 3 weeks ago, and she has instilled some values in me that has not led me to make decisions out of fear, but to lean on my faith. And I look forward to the possibilities, some that I can't see. I might be walking on water at this point, and I don't know if I can stay afloat. And I can't see every step that I can take right now, but I'm excited for this journey.
Well, you know, people can't succeed in life without taking chances. You know, you don't take any chances. For the most part, you don't succeed in life. It's
right.
It's always going to be a risk involved in that. You know, you as a young man have been politically engaged for now, as you stated, since a very young man. What does David Bowen do if unfortunately you're on the short end of the stick? Do you move away from politics, or are you willing to move on with your life?
And that's why it's important.
And what would that look like?
Yeah, that's why it's important as well to highlight that there are some folks right now, even on our side, that are so pessimistic about the possibilities of this election cycle that they're just bowing out altogether. They're just like, they're going to win it all. There's nothing we can do. Listen, I don't have that mindset. Right. I've been in this position before with my back against the wall. And ultimately, it's about doing the work. There's still a path to victory. So I would urge folks, bowenforwisconsin.com, all spelled out, BOWENFOR, Wisconsin.com, to join us in this fight. But if you're scared, that's cool. Leave it to us. Put it on our backs, and we'll get it done. And people can donate to our efforts there. I'll also say that, the future, you know, will look bright. And there will be some way for me to contribute to making change in a different capacity, maybe on the philanthropic end, helping to elect other people. I can give a big shout out to, it's live now, Darren Madison, my mentee, who's running for the 10th Assembly District now, newly announced candidate, to be able to fill in for a district that needs leadership that I was able to provide, and even stronger and even more fierce and even creating more demand for the outcomes that people need in the newly designed 10th, that will include Milwaukee, Shorewood, and Glendale.
So you don't ever see yourself as not being politically engaged no matter what you're doing?
I do know that there is a pathway to make change in a number of different ways and areas. And I do consider politics one of the biggest influences to create systemic change. Then at the same time, you know, there's so many other ways to do it beyond that. So I'm just excited. I have no idea where I might end up after this. But I do know for sure that it will be exactly where God wants me to be.
You know, man, the fact that you are single, you know, don't have a family from the standpoint of a ball and chain. Oh, I'm sorry, a wife and children.
don't got that.
Sorry, honey.
I'm telling.
You're correct. I don't have that.
It makes it possible because you can still reach for the moon.
That's right. That's right.
And so, listen, man, I've said it before. You've always been one of my favorite elected officials, and nothing changed in anything that you said or done. Respect you tremendously, the people, your sister, your family, all of that strong, strong community involvement, and you couldn't help but be who you are, right?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. My mom would have it no other way.
Yeah, the apple don't fall too far from the tree.
Yeah, yeah.
You can judge a tree by the fruit it bears and all those other analogies. But, man, it's wish you all the luck in the world. I'll have you back again. But it's when you threw your hat in the ringer, I was happy.
Appreciate
because,
that.
Because, you know, you could stay safe and you could have probably sat in that seat until you were, you know, a grizzled old man like me in the seat that you were in. But, you know, you get to a point where change is good. And you know, just to be playing it safe, there are people who have been state representatives for 30 years.
Yeah, yeah. God bless Holly Williams.
Yeah.
She was able to be in that seat for a significant amount of time. Yeah. I think about 30 years.
Yeah.
And was able to make a huge impact.
Yeah.
You know, I think I've been there 8 years in the assembly, and you know, you're already seeing the number of people that are transitioning.
Right.
Wisconsin doesn't have term limits, right? So you literally could run for election and continue to win, and we have a dynamic where usually incumbents do very well. But the dynamic changes when you are able to pivot and consider something else.
So that State Representative David Bowen, he's a candidate for the Lieutenant Governor of the state
appreciate
of Wisconsin.
You,
thank you, man. Really appreciate it.
Bowen for Wisconsin.
Thank everybody who made the show go. I'll be back on tomorrow. You've been tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. See you later.
Thank you, DJ.